Good morning. Reading Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heavens with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the King. Answer us when we call.
Well, good day, folks. This week we're looking at Psalm 20. Last week we looked at Psalm 19 and we were talking about getting into the scriptures, getting into reading the Bible. Well, what's my other mantra apart from read the Bible? Talk to God about it. Pray. Oh, there's so much in the scriptures. But when we get to it, why do we actually pray? Why do we actually talk to people? Why do we actually talk to God in particular? Well, I think it's a matter of trust. That's not a Phil Collins song, but it is a matter of trust. Life's not always easy, is it? You know, life isn't always easy. And life can be filled with stress and difficulties. And even when life is going well, you've got to ask yourself, what keeps you anchored? What keeps you firm in life? And so easy it has been over the last 18 months, 2 years, to just be drawn off and taken away by everything that COVID wanted to do and get distressed over it. But we can tell a lot about ourselves by how we react and where we turn to when life gets difficult. You know, so many people in our congregation told me that when things were getting really difficult and we couldn't meet together, we couldn't worship together, that they found the ability to connect online and worship online was something that was really precious to them. They turned to God, and some people found that who hadn't been reading the scriptures all of a sudden found they started to read the scriptures more, found that they started to pray more, talk to God and petition him. I think that's been one of the beauties of this last season, is it's really just changed our attitude and our hearts to not just kind of be Sunday Christians, but to be weekly Christians. So who or what do you rely on when life gets difficult? You know, when it's time to go to battle, or who do you take with you? And who do you trust to get you through the battles of life? Because when we become Christians, we're not a kind of given immunity against adversity. We're never given that. We still have challenging situations, and sometimes it's a spiritual battle that we need to go against, and it's a real challenging thing. I think many of us here would actually say, well, we trust in Jesus. And you know, that's good. And that's where we should place our trust. But in truth, is that where you really do place your trust? Or do you place your trust in yourself, your family, your friends? See, when we find ourselves in difficult or stressful situations, I believe that many people rely on worry and fear more than they rely on God. And I've preached on worry and fear before, but I'm not going to do that so much today. But do you rely on worry and fear to get you through an anxiousness and anxiety? See, I've had periodic struggles with relying on worry rather than trusting in God. And I've got to say that worry, all it does is it makes my nights sleepless. It means that I'm agitated, I'm edgy. It's not helpful. But when I say that God is God, he is over all things, through all things, in all things, and knows all things, and when I come to the peace that understanding that I might not have all the answers for this situation, but God does, and I'm prepared to trust that his answer will be the best one, then at that point I have a peace. It doesn't mean that I'm out of the situation. It doesn't mean that I'm out of worry or challenge. It just means that I now have a peace, and the paradigm changes to one where I have trust. And my trust then draws me out of worry. It draws me out of worry because I sometimes still have worry, but it draws me out of worry and puts my focus back onto my Father in heaven, who I realize actually has me firmly in the palm of his hands. So where do you place your trust when things go wrong, such as worry? And where do you allow yourselves to be? I mean, when this happens to our life, whether it's health problems, whether it's COVID, whether it's financial problems, whether it's family problems or friends problems. It is always a challenge. And I think that as we start this year off, it's always good to focus on how we bring this all to God, how we bring our worries and our challenges to God. See, worry and stress are no defense for the battles that life can present to you. And yet so often that's our paradigm. Psalm 20, this psalm is actually written for David or by David. And some would say it was written somewhere in the time frame of when David was about to do battle with our Ammonites. The people knew David needed something special in order to be victorious in battle. So Psalm 20 shows us a path to victory as God's chosen people, to put our trust in God for the protection of our worlds that we live in today. This psalm was a song and a victory chant offered by the people. That's right, it was a song and a victory chant. Much in the same way as we sing songs in church today, this psalm was being sung as a victory chant. See, the nation with David stopped for prayer. This song, this psalm, is a deep prayer. The nation was about to face a difficult challenge, and the people understood that prayer was their best weapon. That's right. It wasn't about the swords. It wasn't about the chariots. It wasn't about the armies and the size of it. It was about prayer and where God was in the midst of this all. They are pleading with God to answer the king's prayer in his time of trouble. The people knew that King David was a man of God and that he was a man of prayer, and the people wanted God to know they stood with their king in prayer also. May God hear your prayers for victory in the distress of battle. May God hear your prayers for victory in the distress of battle. And you know what? In our lives, this should be a mantra. This should be a mantra when we have friends or family going through difficult times. May we say to them, may God hear your prayers for victory in the distress of this battle. But not only that, may we be praying it with them. May we not just leave them isolated and say, well, off you go, fight your battle. God will hear your prayers. No, no, may we get alongside them and may we chant with them. May God hear the prayers for victory in the distress of this battle. So who is the king of your problems? Well, the people knew the king did not have absolute power. King David didn't. But rather, his power was bestowed upon him by God. The people were asking God, who empowered the king, to protect the king. So God, who empowers you and God, who empowers me, is also the God who protects you and the God who protects me. And I think, brothers and sisters, something that we've overlooked in the life of churches for many years is the prayers of protection over brothers and sisters. The prayers of protection from the way in which society is pounding down, the prayers of protection over the great congregations. When you find yourself under duress, where do you turn to for help? Do you turn to the assurance of victory in your situation? Or do you turn to the rules and regulations of your church and its denomination? Do you turn to the assurances and the promises of God? Or do you turn to the pragmatic ways of going through worship and liturgy, or the pragmatic ways of going through life itself, and maybe the reliance upon yourself and the laws of the land? There is a call for all of us to turn to God in prayer for the victory in a situation. It's similar when we get to points of health in our life, when we're challenged by deep health. Do we pray God heal? Or do we say, God, thanks for the doctor up the road that I'm going to go and get all my drugs off? Well, over to Jesus for just a second, you know, because I think there's a beautiful thing here. David was a man of prayer. The people were praying for David. But when we see people praying here, and when we look to Jesus for inspiration, how many times do we see Jesus taking time out to just go and pray, to just go and talk to God? He could not do ministry and mission alone, and neither can we. Prayer is a vital ingredient in our walk of faith every single moment of every day. Prayer is such a vital component. If you can't have a relationship with God if you don't talk to him. Might sound funny. I can't have a relationship with my wife if I don't talk to her. That's not a relationship. That's existing. That's all it is, existing together. But a relationship is one where I talk to her, she talks to me. When I have a relationship with God, I talk to him, he talks to me. We commune together. We read the scriptures together. We sing songs together. So what do you trust in? What does the psalm say? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. See, they collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Do we trust in the politics and powers of this world? I mean, this year there's going to be a couple of elections. Do you just trust in what the elections are going to bring you? Do you trust that all the politicians are going to act with integrity and they're always going to be beautiful people who always make the right decisions? Because we've seen in the past this hasn't been the case. Do you trust in the banks of the world? Well, we've seen that that hasn't always been the right thing either. Do we trust in the insurance companies of the world? Again, some failings there. So where do you put your trust? Surely not in the media. They have so many different stories for the same events. We need to trust over and above ourselves. We need to put our trust in God and that his word and promises are firm and true. And do you pray for and celebrate the godly things of life? See, this may sound strange at first, but do you pray that the godly things of life will take place in your life, in your family's life, your friend's life, your community life? And do you celebrate when it actually happens? See, if you're a person of faith ministering and it starts to be successful, then it actually lifts your spirits. And you maybe believe that God could use you in a greater way yet again. See, when we start to see ourselves being involved in God's mission and God's work into the community and the world and into the life of our church, and we start to see that we have a purpose and plan that God's put us into in the midst of there, it's the most beautiful and amazing thing. So not only should we be praying for ourselves and how we engage ministry and mission, but we should also be praying for those going off to ministry and missional work. No one can ever have enough pray. You know, it's funny. I used to say to people early on in ministry when they'd say to me, "Oh, Nick, I'm going to be praying for you." I said, "No, don't worry, it's all good." You know what I say now? Amen. The more the better. The more the better. Pray for me. Lord knows I need prayer. And, you know, it's true. God knows that we all need prayer because God just is so interested when we're interested in other people and their lives and their connection to him. See, do you live a life of victory or do you live a life that is, well, nothing's ever going to get any better than what this is, so we'll just wait for the day of glory and God will open up the holy door and in I'll go and thank God for that. Really? Well, there's actually quite good stuff that God's done for us today. I don't need you to be one of those fake PVC kind of Christians who look like a Barbie and Ken doll, you know, all dressed up and looking your finest. I don't need that. In the reality of your life and those around you, do you believe that Jesus has not only conquered the grave, but all this other junk as well, and that he wants to conquer your lives too, to take it to a point of victory? Do you want to believe that? Because I do. See, here's the thing. We've got to accept the victory with humility. The victory that God has conquered the sin in our life. He's conquered the shame in our lives. He's conquered it all in our lives. I mean, this is something to celebrate and to give victory to God over and to give praise to God over. And that's what prayer does. See, when it's all said and done, we always have to know where the victory comes from, and it comes from God. It doesn't come from my good hands or good works or good thoughts. It comes from God. The people knew, and David knew, that his strength did not come from the army, but it actually came from God. So it takes a dose of humility to stay in that realm when God has delivered the victory after victory into one's life. To actually say each time, God, you continue to bring these victories into my life. I'm not worthy of it, but I am so thankful that you love me that way. And it should actually bring us joy to know how great it is to serve such a good God who loves and engages us the way he does. My final words about this passage is, you can deal with the battles of life on one of a couple of ways. Firstly, you can depend on yourself and what you believe it is. You can worry, you can stress out about things that you most likely cannot control. Or you can trust in God to deliver the victory. You can trust in God. But who you trust and what you trust in will determine if you live in victory or if you're going to live in the quagmire of defeat. I don't want you to live in the quagmire of defeat. See, being a Christian, we don't live in a quagmire of defeat. Being a Christian, we live in the victory of Christ, died, crucified, risen again for the forgiveness of sins. We live in that victory, the victory that sin has been conquered in our life, that God has empowered us with the Holy Spirit because he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. And you know what? All we need to do is take hold of it and be thankful. Amen. Hold on. Last week, my mantra was read the Bible. What's my mantra for this week? Pray. That's right. Pray without ceasing. Pray with all your heart. Give thanks to God in the good seasons and the tough seasons. Give thanks to God and bring your petitions to him. Walk into the throne room. Where that's what it says we can do in the New Testament. Walk into the throne room and lay your prayers at God's feet, whether it's from the tough season you're in or whether it's from a good season you're in. And know that God has you in his sight. Amen.